Howard Dean's predecessor, Terry McAuliffe, was known as a champion fundraiser. NPR's senior political correspondent Linda Wertheimer caught up with McAuliffe yesterday to reflect on his tenure at the helm of the Democratic National Committee.
In the last hours of his reign, Democratic Party Chair Terry McAuliffe is holding court at the Washington Hilton. Now, you have had enormous success in this last cycle. You worked under new fundraising rules. Mm-hmm. Many of your colleagues were predicting disaster and failure, and you raised more money than any other Democratic Party chair ever has. And for the first time in many years, yes, and for many years, the Republicans raised more money than Democrats, but not this time. But in the end, did the money matter?
Oh, if we didn't have the money, that money allowed us to have the largest field organization in the history of our party. We knocked down 11 million doors. We had 255,000 volunteers. We made 69 million paid phone calls. I mean, it allowed us to do things this party's never done. If we didn't have the money in order to build that ground game, I don't know, what the election would have looked like.
But at the ballot box, the Republican Party was able to turn out more voters than you did. Now, why was that?
Well, John Kerry got 59 million votes for president. We got 9 million more people to come out than we did in 2000. The problem is George Bush got 62 million. The thing that they had, I want to be crystal clear, and I can't overstate this enough. This was an election on national security issues. George Bush was an incumbent president. They didn't want to throw out an incumbent commander-in-chief while at war, and not if they weren't fully trustful that John Kerry would keep him safe, and that's what the Republicans effectively attacked him on. John Kerry had won 5 medals in Vietnam, and they were successful in making John Kerry somehow look unpatriotic. It was just, it was over the top, but they got away with it.
So do you think that was the biggest strategic error that the Democrats made in the last election, was not hitting back?
I think there's no question we should have hit back on the swift boats day one. You just can't get hit in this business and not hit back, because they will then define you. I believed we should have attacked George Bush during our convention. As you know, we barely ever mentioned his name. That was a strategic decision. And then they went to New York and had their convention, and ripped our face off for 4 days, and they actually went up 10 points in the polls. We need to make sure that we are having a 365-day operation that is getting our message out, testing, doing what we need to do. We now can do it because we have the tools.
Now, I want to talk about those tools. You obviously mastered the technology of fundraising. You handled the switch from very big contributions to much, much smaller ones and a much greater number of small ones. The Republicans, on the other hand, starting in 2002, the Republicans were building those lists. Right. They were using similar technology to push voter identification.
That's right.
What happened to you?
We didn't have a voter file. It took me 3 years to build a 170 million name voter file. They've had one for 20 years. We now have every registered Democrat, Republican, Independent on our data file today. With many appendages, we get an idea of who's a hunter and so forth. You can segment out and get a pretty good idea about what message you need to be sending those people and talking to them. Let me tell you, we used to send mail out about Social Security to people who were 20 years old. They could care less. We should be talking to them about the possibility of a draft and other things. We can now do that.
So was that the big challenge, to get technically ready?
There's no question. The biggest challenge, I took over a party that was bankrupt. The other big challenge I faced is, I'm the first chairman in 25 years to change the primary calendar. It was very controversial. I love Iowa and New Hampshire, but they don't represent our party in the sense there's no diversity in Iowa and New Hampshire. So I opened the window a week after New Hampshire and allowed South Carolina to come in, where 40% of the primary voters are African American. We brought in Arizona and New Mexico for that first week because of the Hispanic vote. So I think the other big challenge was changing the primary calendar, and we had an early nominee, and that was a good thing this time.
You have sort of mastered all of the technology. Now, what we're looking at here with Howard Dean is a guy who's been very good on the technology of his own presidential campaign, at any rate, but he's sort of selling the idea that he's the straight talker, he's the man with the message, he's the sort of the John McCain on the Democratic side. Does that work?
Well, I don't think he's selling that to be DNC chair. I think his job is not to, get out there in front of the House and Senate members who vote on issues, or governors and so forth. Your job is to run the party. You represent conservative Democrats as well as you represent everybody. You are the person for the whole party. He gets that. He knows that his main job is to raise money, build the state parties, do the grassroots. That's what he's going to work on. He'll be very effective at that.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
The DNC's former chairman, Terry McAuliffe, speaking with NPR's Linda Wertheimer.